Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Last week in our study of Psalm 23, we found ourselves walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It was a dark and frightening place, surrounded on all sides by high, steep cliffs. It was also a dangerous place. In many places there were caves and dugouts in which hid thieves and wild animals. But now in verse 5 of Psalm 23, the scene suddenly changes. Under the guidance of the Good Shepherd, we emerge from the dark valley into the bright sunshine of a grassy meadow. In the middle of this meadow is a table, overladen with food and drink, all of which was prepared in advance by the Good Shepherd. This is the picture that David sets before us in the first part of verse 5, which is also our text this morning. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, what does this mean, and how does it apply to us today? This is what we would like to examine in our sermon this morning. David here speaks of the Lord preparing a table. Thou preparest a table before me. Now, the first question that confronts us here is this. What is this table? The word table here can have two possible meanings. It can refer to a plateau, a large, flat area found at higher elevations. In English, these plateaus are called mesas, from the Spanish word meaning table. Therefore, it is also called a tableland. It's not hard to understand how they got this name, since from a distance these plateaus, these mesas, actually look like a large table, either carved into a mountainside or standing on its own in the middle of the wilderness. In Bible times, and I assume still today, shepherds would lead their sheep to these areas in summer to feed. They did that because the grass at higher elevations stayed greener longer. As the grass in the plains became dry and brown due to the hot sun, the shepherd would lead his sheep to one of these high plateaus, and there the sheep could find plenty of fresh green grass to graze on. But before leading them to these plateaus, the shepherd had to prepare it. Now that involved a lot of work. In his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Keller, who was himself a shepherd, mentions a number of things the shepherd had to do in order to prepare one of these plateaus for the sheep. First, he had to survey the area to make sure it contained sufficient vegetation and the right type of vegetation. Then he would pile salt and other minerals at strategic locations to supplement the sheep's diet and to promote good health. Thirdly, he would determine the best location to set up camp, preferably some place where the sheep could lie down in comfort and safety. Then he would go over the range carefully to see if there were any poisonous weeds or other plants which could make the sheep sick. And if he found such plants, he would pull them out by hand, and that was tedious and very back-breaking work. Then he would clear out the watering holes and springs by removing the debris that had accumulated over the past year. And finally, he would be on the alert for animals that might attack the sheep, especially poisonous snakes, which could flash out of their holes in an instant and bite the sheep in their noses, often resulting in death. And when the shepherd would find such holes, he would pour hog's fat and burn it at the entrance of the hole, driving out the snake and then killing it. All of this would be done in order to provide a suitable table for the sheep to graze. This word table can also have another meaning, however. In ancient times, a table could refer to an animal hide spread on the floor of a tent or on the ground on which food would be placed. The purpose of this hide was to keep the food clean and to provide the guests a place to sit down, sort of like a picnic blanket. Sometimes a shepherd would use such a hide to feed his sheep. And the reason is because often the ground on which the sheep grazed was infested with parasites. If the shepherd simply placed the hay or grain on the ground, there was a real possibility that the sheep could digest these parasites and become sick or even die. And so to prevent this, the shepherd would sometimes place the food on the hide of an animal. Or, if he had the material, he would construct a little raised table like a manger or a feeding trough and place the food in it. It is quite likely that this is what David had in mind when he spoke of the Lord preparing for him a table. He is referring here to the great care that the Lord as the good shepherd exercises over his sheep. He literally prepares for them a table. We see, therefore, how much the Lord cares for his sheep. He prepares for them a table. Now the question that confronts us now is, what is on this table? Well, the answer is simple. It is every spiritual blessing in Christ. The prophet Isaiah speaks of this in Isaiah chapter 25. In this passage, Isaiah speaks of a mountain, which is really a symbol for heaven itself. And he says that on this mountain, there is a large table filled to overflowing with every kind of food imaginable. In verse 6, he says, "And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined." Now, obviously, this passage is not to be taken literally. Isaiah is using figurative language here. And he is saying that on this table, on the table of the Lord, on this mountain that the Lord has prepared for his people is every spiritual blessing in Christ. But what are these blessings? Well, they include everything that we have in Christ. They include regeneration, by which we are brought from death to life. They include conversion, by which we turn from sin to the living God and learn to trust in him alone for salvation. They include justification, by which we are declared to be righteous before the law of God because we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us by faith. They include sanctification, by which we are made holy in Christ and by which we are made conformable to his image. They include perseverance, by which we hold fast our profession without wavering. Adoption, by which we may address God as Abba, Father. Glorification, by which we are raised from the dead and seated with Christ in heavenly glory. All of these blessings are like large bowls of sumptuous food sitting on the table of the Lord. Have you ever seen pictures of the Queen's Banquet Hall in Windsor Castle? When foreign dignitaries pay an official state visit, often the Queen will host a large banquet in their honor. And the banquet hall in Windsor Castle is a most beautiful room, carved with wood paneling, high ceilings, and there's a massive long table in the middle of it, lined on both sides with high back chairs. On the table are china plates and gold-plated eating utensils, pure crystal glasses, silk napkins, and large gold-plated candelabras. And when the banquet begins, the servants bring in dish after dish of succulent food, meat and fish and vegetables and fruit, all excellently prepared and beautifully presented. Well, that's the kind of picture that David presents to us here. Oh no, we should not picture this table that David speaks of as piled high with animal feed, with hay and oats and barley. No. This table contains dishes so wonderful that we cannot even fully describe them. And all of them are prepared by the Good Shepherd himself. And he prepares them for his sheep. And what is more, all of this food on this table is absolutely free. Have you ever wanted to eat in a certain restaurant but could never afford it? Well, here the Lord prepares a table with the choicest and best foods imaginable, all the blessings of salvation in Christ, and He freely offers it to each and every person in the entire world. How do I know that? The Lord Himself says so in Isaiah 55, verse 1. Isaiah quotes the Lord as saying, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth," that includes you, it includes me. "Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Oh, the table of the Lord is a massive smorgasbord that can never be depleted, and it is all free of charge. Oh, but maybe somebody says, "Well, how can that be? How can this be free of charge? Is there no cost at all?" Oh, indeed there is. There is a very high cost. But this cost was covered by the Good Shepherd Himself. You see, by dying on the cross, Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And in so doing, He made all of these benefits available to His people free of charge. They do not have to do a single thing in order to earn it. It has all been done by Christ. And this is what we commemorate every time that we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Well, this is not a Lord's Supper sermon, but the connection is so obvious one can hardly help make it. When we think about the Good Shepherd preparing a table for His sheep, we automatically think of the Lord's Supper. That's not spiritualizing, for is the Lord's Supper not the perfect illustration of what it costs the Good Shepherd to provide for His sheep? When we see the bread being broken and the wine poured out, we are reminded that all the spiritual benefits which we have in Christ came at a very high price, the suffering and death of the only begotten Son of God. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, writes this: "It is not always apparent to us what tremendous personal cost it has been for Christ to prepare the table for His own. Just as the lonely personal privation of the sheepman who prepares the summer range for his stock entails a sacrifice, so the lonely agony of Gethsemane, of Pilate's hall, of Calvary have cost my Master much. When I come to the Lord's table and partake of the communion service, which is a feast of thanksgiving for His love and care, do I fully appreciate what it has cost Him to prepare this table for me?" Here we commemorate the greatest and deepest demonstration of true love that the world has ever known. For God looked down upon sorrowing, struggling, sinning humanity and was moved with compassion for the contrary sheep-like creatures He had made. In spite of the tremendous personal cost it would entail to Himself to deliver them from their dilemma, He chose deliberately to descend and live amongst them that He might deliver them. This meant laying aside His splendor, His position, His prerogatives as the perfect and faultless one. He knew He would be exposed to terrible privation, to ridicule, to false accusations, to rumor, gossip, and malicious charges that branded Him as a glutton, drunkard, friend of sinners, and even an impostor. It entailed losing His reputation. It would involve physical suffering, mental anguish, and spiritual agony. In short, His coming to earth as the Christ, as Jesus of Nazareth, was a straightforward case of utter self-sacrifice that culminated in the cross of Calvary. The laid-down life, the poured-out blood were the supreme symbols of total selflessness. This was love. This was God. This was divinity in action, delivering men from their own utter selfishness, their own stupidity, their own suicidal instincts as lost sheep, unable to help themselves. Yes, the benefits of Christ are freely offered to every sinner. But let us never think that just because they are free, they did not come at a cost. They most certainly did. In fact, the cost was so high that we would never be able to pay it ourselves. But, and this is the glorious gospel, what we are not able to do, Christ did for us. And therefore, all the glory for our salvation must go to Him and Him alone. And so we see then that the Good Shepherd has prepared a table. But for whom has He prepared this table? Well, it is for His sheep. David writes, "Thou hast prepared a table before me." David acknowledges here that all that the Lord does in preparing a table, He does for His sheep. And is that not true? Everything the Good Shepherd does, He does for His sheep. This is why He came into the world. This is why He suffered and died and rose again and ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of His Father in glory, not for His own benefit, but for the benefit of the sheep. As I reflected on this, I was immediately drawn to John 14, verses 2 and 3. This was the night of Christ's betrayal. Jesus was about to go to the cross. Before He does, He delivers His farewell discourse in the upper room in Jerusalem. And He says in verses 2 and 3 of John 14, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Why was Jesus going to return to His Father? He tells us, so that He could prepare a place for His people. And why is He coming again? Well, so that He can take His people with Him and live and reign with Him to all eternity. You see, everything the shepherd does, He does for His people, for His sheep. The same thought is expressed in Psalm 31, in verse 19. There the psalmist writes, "Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men." Notice who is the one who has wrought and laid up this goodness. It is Thou. It is the Lord. And notice, too, for whom He has wrought and laid up this goodness. It is for them that fear Thee, for them that trust in Thee. Again, the same point is made. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is from the Lord, and it is freely bestowed on His people. And yet that does not fully explain what David is expressing here in our text. You'll notice he does not say, "Thou hast prepared a table for me," but rather, "Thou hast prepared a table before me." There is an acknowledgement here of weakness and helplessness. It is as though David has to admit that the Lord has to do everything for him. He must bring the table to him, and him to the table. He must, as it were, set it right in front of his nose. And why is that? Well, it is because David knows that by nature he will not eat from the table that the Lord has prepared for him. He will simply keep eating that parasite-infested grass that he sees all around him, without realizing that the more he does that, the more chance that it may be that he might get sick and perhaps even die. And so the Lord has to put the table right before him, right in front of his eyes, so that he can't miss it. Well, the spiritual application is obvious, isn't it? By nature, we too do not want to eat from the table which the Lord has prepared. After all, we are surrounded by the lush green grass of this world. Why would we eat from a table when there is so much grass all around us? In that respect, we are just like sheep, aren't we? Sheep look at the grass in a certain pasture and they say, "Looks good to me." And they will eat away to their heart's content, not realizing that hidden in every blade are millions of tiny parasites that will make them sick and even kill them. Isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve in paradise? Eve looked at the tree of knowledge of good and evil and saw that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, from all outward appearance, it was just ordinary fruit. But as soon as she and Adam partook of it, they plunged themselves and all of their posterity into everlasting ruin and damnation. So it is when it comes to sin and the attractions of the world. Oh, on the surface, there may not appear to be anything wrong with what the world has to offer, but under the surface, there are these deadly parasites that will bring us to the grave and even to hell itself if we are not careful. Oh, how important this is, especially for our young people today. Young people, you especially are vulnerable to this way of thinking. You say to yourself, well, there's nothing wrong with going to the theater. It's no different than watching a video at home, and you go, and the first time it wasn't too bad. Only one sex scene and a few profanities, but it wasn't that bad. The next time you go, there are a few more sex scenes, and a few more profanities, and before you know it, you are gobbling the stuff up like it was chocolate, destroying your own soul in the process. Oh, you see, friends, there are a lot of tiny parasites lurking in the grass of this world. You can't see them, but they are there. And if you are not careful, they will kill you. And that is why, you see, that's why David speaks in our text about enemies. You notice he says that the Lord prepares a table before him in the presence of mine enemies. Sheep have many enemies. We've mentioned some of them already. Plants, certain weeds, snakes, parasites. But there are others. I'm thinking especially of wild animals, wolves and coyotes, cougars and bears. All of these are threats to the safety and the well-being of the sheep. And often these creatures can attack without warning. They peer over the edge of the cliffs, watching every movement the sheep make, waiting for the perfect opportunity to pounce and attack them. Sometimes it all happens so fast that the shepherd does not realize what is happening until it is too late. Philip Keller illustrates this from his own experience. He recalls several encounters that he had with cougars. Often, he says, when a cougar attacked, it would wreak terrible havoc in the flock. Some ewes would be killed outright, their blood drained and their livers eaten. Others would be torn apart and badly clawed. In these cases, the cougars seem to chase and play with their prey like a house cat plays with a mouse. Still others, in their frightened stampede, broke bones as they rushed over rocky terrain. And yet, in spite of all this, Keller did not recall a single time that he ever saw cougars on his range. So cunning and so skillful they were in planning and executing their raids. Now apply this to spiritual life. Like sheep, God's people too have enemies. Not cougars or parasites, of course. Our enemies are spiritual. They include the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. But they operate in much the same way as wild animals. They sneak up on us when we least expect it. They attack us with great ferocity, leaving havoc in their wake. You can be sitting on the deck of your home, or going about your daily business, when all of a sudden certain sinful thoughts come into your head and you wonder, where did that come from? Or you could be watching television and out of nowhere a provocative commercial comes on the screen causing you to fall into temptation. And these attacks come without warning, and before you know it, the predator is gone. Well, it's no wonder, isn't it, that Peter speaks of the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But the amazing thing is that the Good Shepherd prepares a table before me in the presence of these very enemies. Oh, there's an overwhelming air of confidence about this scene. Do you see it? Do you hear it? There is a huge banquet table overflowing with delicious food of every kind, and around the table are the sheep feeding contentedly. But around the sheep and around this table are wild animals, ferociously trying to get at the sheep. Ah, but you see, they are not able to do so. For the Good Shepherd is at the head of the table, and he will not allow any predator to destroy his sheep. Oh, to be sure, once in a while he will allow them to take a swipe or two, but only to remind the sheep to keep their eyes focused on him. But he will never allow any of them to be plucked from his hand. That is his solemn promise. In John 10, 27, 28, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And he can carry out this promise, because by dying on the cross and rising again on the third day, he has defeated all of his and our enemies. And now he sits at the right hand of his Father in glory, defending and preserving his church against the attacks of the evil one, preserving her until he comes again on the clouds of heaven. And as a result of Christ's victory, the sheep may graze contentedly. Yes, even in the midst of their enemies. Oh, to be sure, those enemies remain a real threat, and they will continue to do so until our Lord comes again. But so long as we stay close to the shepherd, we have nothing to fear. For they have all been defeated, and through Christ, we, his sheep, shall achieve the victory. Friends, we have spent a few minutes this morning looking at the table that the Lord has prepared for his sheep. And what a wonderful table it is, overflowing with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has made everything ready. And now he bids you, yes, you, to come and partake freely, without money, without price. You have a beautiful picture of this in Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 6. There the Lord Jesus is portrayed as wisdom, calling out her wares in the marketplace. Listen to what Solomon writes. "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city." And this is what she says, verse 4. "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding." The Lord Jesus Christ himself invites sinners to come and partake of the table that he has prepared. Yes, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, Jesus invites you to come. Oh, have you heard his invitation? Then I pray that you may respond to it in faith, that you might believe today on the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that all who do shall be saved. Amen. This radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It is a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you have been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me at area code 403-553-3400. That's 553-3400. For your information, these messages are now being posted on the Internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and search on The Banner of Truth. If you are in the Calgary area, our church is located right across from the Blackfoot Inn on Blackfoot Trail. For directions to the church, please call the church office at area code 403-254-6591. That's 254-6591.
9-1. A warm welcome awaits you. If you would like more information about our churches, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30, in Lacombe at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth.